In Psalm 119, we're looking at a specific passage of Scripture. And the theme for the week is, how shall the young secure their hearts? And that's an old song. And just to be honest with you, I don't like the song. The lyrics are great. I don't like the song. I don't know if you guys have ever done anything like that before, where you're like, okay, the lyrics, that's supposed to be the main thing, but I don't like the tune. But this is a legitimate question. How can we grow into the Lord so that our faith is secure, that it's strong? In Psalm 119 and verse 9, how shall a young man, and it's also true, a young woman cleanse their way by taking heed according to your word? With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we think about these ideas and these sorts of things, we looked at some examples this morning, and today and even tomorrow, Lord willing, we're going to look at more examples of some ideas that are following this idea in making godly decisions. So I have a couple of questions. These are short-term decisions that some people make. So how many of you plan on getting drunk? Fall over drunk? Hopefully nobody in this audience will say, hey, that's me. But people do it. I'm pretty sure Noah would have never said, yeah, I'm going to get so blasted drunk that I don't even know that I'm naked and my kids are going to see me. I'm pretty sure that no alcoholic ever started off saying, you know, I want to grow up and I want to ruin my life. Nobody ever thinks like that, but it happens. How many of you plan on starting to smoke, get lung cancer, and die a painful death because of your smoking? Of course, nobody's going to raise their hand at any of these questions. But sometimes there are addictions that happen to us because of our own choices. Hey, yeah, I want to get lung cancer from some of my choices. I want to get lip and throat cancer from dipping snuff. Yes, that's exactly what... Nobody thinks that. But choices sometimes lead to those things. I'm not saying all lung cancer. I know your great aunt Sally who got lung cancer. And I live in a very industrial area, so lung cancer sometimes happens without tobacco products. How many of you plan on becoming addicted to porn and ruin most of your precious relationships? Those are bug-eyed people. I'm not putting any pornography on the screen. I just don't want you to, wait, he said porn. Where's the porn? No. It's not like a car wreck on the road. You know, everybody who sees a car wreck on the road, they have to stop and look. That's why there's always a backup when there's a car wreck. Nobody says, hey, I want to ruin all of my relationships. But don't relationships get ruined, don't they? They get ruined because we're easily tempted. We have weaknesses. And straight up, the devil don't play fair. We learned that in the first four chapters of Matthew, because when did he come and tempt Jesus with bread? How many of you remember? What did Jesus just completed doing? How long was he fasting? How many of you would be hungry after 40 days? How many of you would be hungry after 4 hours, Christian? We were just talking about how we could have eaten more pizza today. That's why I picked on him. He and the skinny kid and the fat guy, both we could have eaten more pizza today. You don't have to wait 4 hours, 40 hours, or 40 days. You don't have to. It's a very serious thing, our decisions. Sometimes folks say, NBD, hashtag no big deal. It's no big deal. What's the problem? There's no big deal. Sometimes it might not be a big deal. Sometimes it might end up being a big deal. We're going to look at David tomorrow. But being sleepless and going out on his rooftop porch one night led to a series of awful events. And David, a man after God's own heart, would have never said, yeah, just because I see someone who is naked where I shouldn't be and maybe she shouldn't be either, surely that's not going to ruin my life. And I'm not saying it ruined his life, but it certainly changed it. Pornography is that sort of thing. How many of you plan on getting hooked on drugs and spending time in jail or recovery? Well, of course, we're in church. Nobody's going to say, yes, that's me. Have you ever seen somebody who's addicted to anything? I mean, seriously addicted. Chemical dependency is one of the ugliest things there is. I'm not trying to do a scared straight video here, but someone who is literally chemically dependent. Okay, those of you coffee drinkers who have to have your coffee in the morning, what happens if you don't have your coffee? That's just a itty-bitty, teensy-weensy part of what your body becomes used to with caffeine. Caffeine is a chemical. I'm not saying it's sin or, don't go there. But there are chemical dependencies that we can get ourselves into and can ruin our life. Now, how about this next one? How many of you plan on marrying somebody beautiful who will not help you get to heaven and end up with a ruined life? I want to marry somebody beautiful. I want to marry somebody who's hot. I want to marry somebody who's sexy. I want to marry somebody who, because that's how a lot of folks think, right? How many times do we congratulate people on being pretty in this culture? Even in church. Adults, how many times do you go up to a little girl on her pretty little frilly dress and say, "Oh, you look so beautiful today." And she did nothing. She did nothing to be beautiful. How many times when you see a young person do something wonderful, become a servant, to help, to sing from the heart, do we thank them? You see, in our culture, we've bitten off so much of our culture, we congratulate people for what their parents and God gave them. And we lift them up. It's the beautiful people. It's the strong people. It's the athletic people. And we go, "Oh, you guys are awesome." I wonder if the Lord is impressed by our athleticism. God created beauty, and beauty surrounds us. That's one of the reasons that we can see that He is a great God, because He created everything beautiful and good and wonderful. But if you are beautiful, thanks be to God, not you. Sometimes beauty, what's the phrase? A pretty face don't make no pretty heart. How many of you remember that phrase? That's all the old people remember that old song. Some of you look at me like, "I don't believe it." Well, it's Robert Palmer, and I'm quoting a rock lyric in church, so I don't know if that's really good or not. But how true is it? How many beautiful people you know have beautiful hearts? They're divorced now, by the way. Aren't they? I thought so. That's why I put their picture up. I looked up beautiful couple. Brangelina shows up. Married, both of them married before, probably be married since, looking for the beautiful life, and it's helping neither one of them get to heaven. These are all decisions that we get to make. What am I going to do? How am I going to act? Am I going to act in a godly way or in an ungodly way? Short-term decisions should be based on long-term plans. Some of you are either in or about ready to go to college. If you plan on moving somewhere else and going to college, is there a congregation close by? One of the heartbreaking things that happened not long after I moved to Valparaiso is a family was ready to send their child, investigated, scholarships, church, everything. 2 weeks before she went, the church imploded on itself. Now think about having to go to school with no spiritual help. Some of you adults, that might keep you up at night. Sending your child somewhere where there's no spiritual backbone. No spiritual help. Imagine being so in love with somebody that he or she's not going to help you get to heaven. Now to some people, that's unfathomable. But there are others, there's the other side of the coin. Well, I can't help who I love. I'm not going to try to help you make a decision. I want you to think, which is why we did this morning what we did. Think about the decisions that you need to make. When we review some of our answers from this morning, we did a couple of reverse brainstorming things. For those of you who weren't here this morning, reverse brainstorming. Normally, brainstorming is, tell me something good, how we get to a process. Well, reverse brainstorming that we did this morning is, let's make sure that we ignore God and don't listen to Him and how we're not going to get to heaven. So, some of you who were here this morning, What are some of the ways that we can make sure to not be faithful to God that we talked about? What were some of them? Not worship? What else? Bad influences. What else? See, you really just wanted to know if I could spell that right. I know. And I don't know if I have or not. Yes, ma'am. Being bad. So how many of you were surprised when I stood up after the first song before the or after the prayer? How many of you were surprised? None of you were surprised. You know why? Because did you know and remember that we were going to sing a second song? How many of you all listened? Wait, you mean me not listening got me into that awkward moment? Happens all the time. Now, did I intend to stand up on Jason and make an idiot out of myself? No. But does it prove a point? Yes. Not listening and ignoring sound advice is a dangerous thing to do. Now, how many of you, you know, how many of you want to grow up and say, I want to ignore what God said, come what may? I know God says, fill in the blank, but I just know deep in my heart. Why would somebody think that? Can you shift your brain around enough? Can you shift your brain around enough to answer that question? Why would somebody say something that is obviously unbiblical like that when they say they love Jesus? Why would somebody say that? You ever had a friend say it? You ever tried to teach somebody the gospel? Okay. Saying bad words, that's bad. Probably not a wise idea. In Proverbs chapter 1, just a few pages over from your Bible opening, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, how many of you know what the fear of the Lord starts with? Where does the fear of the Lord set you? The fear of the Lord is? The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wah, wah, wah. Wah, 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 wah. Peppermint Patty went to sleep on her teacher. Charlie Brown never listened to her parents. Here goes Mr. Heath and Mr. Mark again talking about God. Yeah, yeah, what time's the party? And before you giggle at that, how many times before the preacher is done with the invitation of the gospel do you pull out your songbook and just skip right over it? Well, that doesn't apply to me. Every once in a while, let me give you. And I'm not going to do this tomorrow, at least I don't think. I'll just stop. It's almost like a Pavlovian response amongst Christians. Because when you get to the invitation part, oh, I've got to get the songbook out, as if it's not on the screen, and it's not like you've not sang Amazing Grace or whatever, come to Jesus 14,000 times. Because we think we know. We think we know how it's going to work. We think we know how it's going to happen. The question is, do we really? How important, now this is a no-duh question, how important is the instruction of the Lord? How many of you have a Bible app on your cell phone? How many of you use it? Ah, trick question. Now, what's he going to count who put their hand down? No. How accessible is God's Word? It's been the most accessible thing in Western civilization. And how has it fared for Western civilization? How have we done with it as a culture? How are we doing? Miss Christie back there going, and you know, she's exactly right. Why? Why is it that folks don't want to listen to God? Ooh. You mean like my Coke Zero? And that sweet old lady? Well, I'm serious now. Why is this bothering me? Why do I have to tell myself no? What's the real answer? Why do I have to tell myself no? Because it's not what God wants. How many of you like being told no? Good. I'm glad Abby didn't raise her hand because she was already on the vegetarian list here this morning. And I'm sort of a carnivore. But anyway, so why would somebody who say they love God stop reading their Bible? Isaac? And noisy? And frustrating? You don't like what it says? You don't like the implications? You know what's interesting is how often that happened when Jesus was teaching. When folks he was teaching knew exactly what he meant, and they didn't care. They knew exactly what his point was, and they didn't care anyway. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. If you were to have asked the high priests and the Pharisees if they believed in God and they believed in the Messiah, what would their answer have been? You can turn in your Bibles and answer the question at the same time. What would the Pharisees and the high priests have said about serving God and believing in the Messiah? Pardon? We do. Without question. In John chapter 12 and in verse 9, in John chapter 11 is the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. How dead was Lazarus? I love the old King James. You got any old King Jamesers in here? You remember? His sisters, surely he stinketh. Which is, you know, to us is like, come on, really? No, really. Don't open that door. And what does everybody do? You can't have a cookie. So what is some of our natural inclinations? Well, I want one now that you said I can't have one. How clear was it, Bible students, that Jesus obviously was from God in the raising of Lazarus from the dead? I mean, the only thing clearer would have been him raising from the dead, and we've got that in a few days. But it couldn't have been any clearer. In John chapter 12 and verse 9, then a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had risen from the dead. But the chief priests took counsel that they might also put Lazarus to death. How hell-bent, and I'm using that absolutely clearly, how hell-bent were these people who said they believed in God? Do you think you could ever come across somebody like that? Do you think that ever might be you? Nobody ever says that about themselves. Nobody. Not even them. Don't ever get there. Read your Bible and pray every day and grow, grow, grow. That's not just a cute song. We talked about it this morning. We're going to keep talking about it because if we divorce ourselves from talking to God and letting Him talk to us through His Scriptures, there's a reason that the Jews got up every morning and said, "Behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." That there's a reason they stood up and said the Shema, and they thought about it all the time, because it was to remind themselves and center themselves on who God is and who they were. When my boys would leave home, I would always holler at them, "Who and whose?" That was shorthand. It was code for who you are and whose you are. Now let me tell you something you don't know. Did I ever think that my oldest would walk away from the Lord? No. Now, he's not gone yet. Let me tell you something. That was not something that I ever envisioned. But it happens. And I'm not just saying that for, you know, to try to... Oh, it's the truth. It happens. And it's as heartbreaking as can possibly be. Don't make decisions that will keep you away from God. Make decisions, long-term decisions, actually have already been answered for us. Is a Christian with the long-term decision of glorifying God and wanting to go to heaven gonna do drugs? Why? God said don't. He said be sober, not drunk. He said be sober, not high. He said have self-control, not lose your self-control. He said all of these things. So some of these short-term decisions have already been answered for us. So we don't have to, you know, we don't have to be like, well, am I going to gossip or not? Well, of course not. Why aren't you going to gossip? Because God said don't. But my boyfriend wants a picture of me without clothes on. Yeah, he went there. Why won't a Christian take a nude selfie? Would you ever tell somebody else that would be a good idea? But how widespread is it? I don't know, Mark, tell me. Well, I don't know either, because I've never seen one, thank God. God and His Word help us with short-term decisions when we consider long-term goals. Now, we got a problem. Let's go back to Proverbs 1. God's Word, now listen to me very carefully because I'm going to say something that you might run with and run in the wrong direction. God's Word doesn't answer every question. If God had to dictate every single scenario in everyone's life from 2,000 years before Christ until now, how big would the Bible be? There's over 600 laws in the Old Testament. And Jewish preachers through the centuries said, well, that's not good enough because we got a whole lot more situations than we know what to do with. So they made up more laws. Guess how big that book is compared to the Old Testament? Well, here's the Old Testament. Here's that book. And guess how well they've done at keeping even those ideas? Not very well. There are going to be times and situations where you're in a pickle. You're in a quandary. What am I going to do? I don't know what God's Word says about this. When we think about God, His Word does not explicitly spell out every action. Using your brain and your faith and godly wisdom is going to be very beneficial for you to keep you from getting into some consequences nobody ever wanted. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You can't tell me what to do. What was the phrase? You're not my mother. You're not my daddy. You don't have control over me. When do people use those phrases? When do they say things like that? I'm not trying to get you all in trouble with parents or anybody who might know your parents or anything. But when might a teenager in anger say that? They're not getting their way. Does "you're not the boss of me" sound like something anybody would want to say to God? Of course you're not going to say that. You're here on a Saturday afternoon for crying out loud. But there is going to be a time or a situation perhaps in your life when there's going to be a temptation to come along and like, well, I don't want to do that. I know what it says, but I don't want to because it's hard. For example, going to someone who has sinned against you. How many Christians you know actually do that? Instead of putting it on Facebook or telling their sister or their brother or their... Instead of actually doing what Jesus said, if you have something against someone, you actually go and talk to them. That's probably one of the least practiced commands in Christendom. And why don't people do it? Because it's hard. And it's going to cost something. And we don't always like the cost of things. So, you're on a date. And you really like them. I mean, really. You've been to Camp Noah together. You've been to gospel meetings together. But you're alone now. And you like each other. I mean, really like each other. And you start kissing and you like it. Hashtag that awkward moment preacher starts talking about and making out during church. It happens. And the feelings... Well, part of your brain says, I know I'm not supposed to, but it feels good. And some of you are going, oh, and some of your parents going, thanks, Mark, now I'm going to have this discussion. So at what point does kissing and making out cross a line into lust and fornication? Nobody knows. Because that's a hard line to draw. But what about godly wisdom? I'm going to confess something to you. While my wife and I were both virgins on our wedding night, we crossed the line in our dating. And it got to the point, we loved each other so much, we just wanted to be married, but we weren't married yet. So there came a point in our relationship where we had to really constrict the time that we were alone together. because we wanted to consummate the relationship. Yes, that's code, and there are young ears here. I hope you understand what I am saying. But being alone was very dangerous. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because when we crossed that line before we were married, neither one of us felt good. Because it felt good. So let me ask you a question. Continuing the awkward moment, who invented sex and made it beautiful? This is a Bible class, so what's the answer? Can you say God and sex at the same time? Yes, you can, because He made it. Okay, there are so many red cheeks right now. It's just wonderful. And I love it, and I'm going to stick with it. Who, if He invented it, who do you suppose knows the right way to go about it? Your friends, the internet, or God? Duh. Now, how many of you have, and do not answer this question by raising your hand. How many of you have had conversations like this with your parents? Exactly the reason why I'm bringing it up today. Because one of the things that needs to happen in our life is we need to avoid panic decisions. Because nobody does it well. Nobody. Nobody. Pressure and panic and stress is never good. Jesus is the only one that ever got through any panic or stressful decisions without sinning. He's the only one. But pressure and panic and stressful decisions, especially on young people, when there is... Because nobody wants to have this discussion. How many of you want to go home and have the sex talk with your parents? Nobody! Guess what? They don't want to either. But what happens if we don't? I have an idea, and I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there since we're already in that awkward moment. Good girls are the ones that get pregnant. Bad girls are prepared. Boys don't care. Hasn't that worked out? I mean, in the folks that you know, in the situations that you know, a panic decision. A panic decision sometimes leads to bad consequences. And how many of you, one of my goals in high school is to be pregnant. Nobody thinks that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. At some point with my wife and I, before we were married, we counted on one or the other in those awkward moments for one of us to say no. One of us to say stop. But who wants to stop when it feels good? I know you want this conversation to stop right now, and I understand that. But avoiding panic decisions, since I've been serving as an elder at home for quite a few years, one of the things that I've found out is we ought too often wait till the problem is too big before we talk about it. Whether it's addiction, adultery, pornography, we often wait till it's a great big knot. Any of you guys ever heard of Ben Franklin? Nobody? Anybody ever heard of Poor Richard's Almanac? He had this wonderful little pithy saying, a stitch in time saves nine. Any of you old folks that so want to tell me what that means? Nobody? If there's a little bitty hole, we throw away our socks, okay? This is how old the saying is. If there's a little bitty hole in your socks, so much so that it would just take one stitch to sew it up. If you wait too long, it's going to take nine more. A stitch in time saves nine. One good decision at an appropriate time will save something much, much, much bigger down the line. I'll give you another example. Paying your credit card bill with other credit cards. Same thing. We understand that with money. Why don't we understand that in other ways? Avoiding panic decisions, actually having conversations It's a very important thing to do. So let me ask you a question. And I don't want an answer. How many of you have a panic plan? I know this may be more of a girl's issue than a guy's issue. If you have a cell phone and you get in a situation where you want to get out, do you have a plan for texting 911 to your parents or texting Red Alert to your brother, doing something like that? That's a really good thing to think about in this Me Too time. Well, Mark, I would never be with somebody. I would only go out with somebody who's a Christian. Panic decisions happen to folks who serve the Lord. And parents, if you get a 911 from your daughter or your son, the first thing out of your mouth should not be, "How dare you?" Thank them for actually talking to you. Because if you say, "How dare you," right off the bat, guess what? You'll never hear again. They'll go to somebody else who might be a little more compassionate. Mark, I wish you hadn't talked about this today. You may have said that already, maybe 40 times, I don't know. But securing your heart for the God is one of the things that we're going to talk about. So what are you going to do when the opportunity arises to make out? How much is safe? How much isn't? What are you going to do when you're at a party and all of a sudden you smell weed? Marijuana. Making sure we're on the same link here. Because it might happen. It may not happen today. It may not happen tonight. It may happen when you go away from school and you go with some friends to a party. You're thinking, "Well, I've never been to a party before. I want to see what it's like." And you get there and you're like, "Oh my, what in the world?" What are you going to do? We have long-term goals. Our long-term goals are to glorify God and to go to heaven. What are our short-term decisions that help us toward that end? Because nobody grows up wanting to go to jail. Nobody grows up wanting to get pregnant before they're married. Nobody thinks, Christians don't think this way. But sometimes it happens to us. What kind of friends are you going to allow yourself to have? Evil company does what? Corrupts good habits. So you can only be friends with Christians, right? That's what that verse means? No. You just have to have the strength to understand when their influence on you is bigger than your influence on them and make a change. Because if you've made out too far or gone to too many parties already and not really said anything, how hard is it going to be to say, "Oh, I don't want to do that"? And don't be a wimp and say, "My mom doesn't want me to go." Too many adults blame. Be a strong child of God in your youth and say, "My God wouldn't want me to be here." Blame it on God. He's got big shoulders. And if they say, "Psh, should you really be friends with him?" How important is your education? Education's good. It's a wonderful thing to be educated, to know. How important is it? What if it compromises your faith? Now, I heard growing up, college ruined him. Not true. Money ruined him or her. Marriage ruined them. None of that's true. All of that is a test of our character. Money never ruined anybody who wasn't ruinable. Marrying somebody never ruined anybody who wasn't weak. Going to college, there are many advantages in money and marriage and college and all of these things. But our decisions on the path, if we displace our faith in God with money or marriage or college, we shouldn't be surprised when we reap what we sow. You know about like sowing seed? You know what that means, right? So when God says, If you will of the flesh, if you sow to the flesh, you will of flesh reap corruption. What does that mean? It means don't be surprised when you do this, and then you wind up with a weak, weak, weak faith. So why are we studying this? Why are we talking about how shall the young secure their hearts? Because we want you to make godly decisions. Because everybody sitting around you has at some point made unwise decisions spiritually. And we don't want anybody to do that. Now, I have to tell you about the rest of the story that we're going to look at tomorrow. Making unwise decisions and having bad things happen to you because of bad choices doesn't mean you're evil, awful, low life, or a subhuman species. Even though there might be some people who would treat you that way. The glory and the grandeur of our God is, He doesn't care what we've done. If we'll repent and turn to Him, He'll forgive all of it. All of it. He would have forgiven Judas just that quick because He forgave Peter. And what Peter did wasn't any less than what Judas did, because Peter denied God and Jesus. Those are some of the character studies we're going to look at tomorrow morning during our worship time. But the greatness of our God is He doesn't throw people away. One of the things that I love about young people is they don't throw people away. One of the things that I dislike about adults is too often adults throw people aside. They call them trash, they call them unworthy, they call them losers. Adults do that. Young people, I like your generation. Because you have more humanity about you than my generation did. Maybe you're one step closer to understanding God for real instead of keeping Him in some kind of church house box. But I want you to listen to Him. Listen to how much He loves you. Listen to what He says. And even when you don't like what He says, listen to Him anyway. Not in a rah, rah. Really listen to Him, because there's a reason. When I was your age, I hated taking out the garbage. It smelled. I would live back in the day, we didn't have rollers on our garbage cans. How many of you have wheels on your garbage cans now? All of you do, wimps. It was this aluminum thing. It was always full because my mother and my sister, they were trashy people. Not real, I'm sorry. But my job was taking out the garbage. Hated it. And then I got older. And I realized, you know what? If taking out the garbage is the least I can do to help my mom who raised me by herself, how much is that? It's amazing what growing up, how it changes your perspective. And one of the things that I want you to keep thinking about is, God, change me. Change the way that I look at things. Because that's the whole point in listening to Him. Is starting to see and to hear and to look at things like God wants us to look at them. Because if we'll do that, we'll not only obey Him, but we'll serve Him all the time. And there's nothing better than that. And we're not going to have an invitation song today. But if at any point in your life, if you're not a child of God, you don't have to be at the church house to obey Him. You can call somebody you know. You can tell your parents. You can call Heath. You can call anybody. You can call me in Indiana. I'll call Heath. But serving the Lord is the most important thing, like you're expecting a preacher to tell you anything different. But just because all preachers say the same thing, it might actually be true. We want you to be secure and strong in your faith. Many of you already are. Be stronger. Because you may have to use that strength one day in ways that you could never imagine. I appreciate you all listening to me drone on and on. And I hope you get to come back tomorrow. And we're going to study some more of that tomorrow. I don't know who I'm supposed to turn to. Heath, there you go, brother. Appreciate you all listening too, not just them.